Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, more Karl-Anthony Towns talk. Towns did return to sort of practice on Thursday. We'll talk about what happened and what can the Wolves expect from a minutes perspective, or how will Chris Finch's rotation look really when Karl-Anthony Towns eventually does return. I also want to talk about the Western Conference standings, what happened Wednesday night, where the Wolves stand now, and a preview of the Wolves-Nets game Friday night. We have not seen Brooklyn yet this year, so we'll talk about that here at the end of the show as well today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Happy weekend. A big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. That's this show plus all the other Minnesota Locked On podcasts, now available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV as part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, first of all, if you're watching on YouTube, apologies for the lighting here today. I was unable to access the studio here today, so in a little bit of a different location, so bear with me. We should be back to normal, hopefully for the postcast, even tonight with Marnie Gellner. Of course, we do a live postcast on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel after every Wolves game, and so we'll do that about 45 minutes after Wolves Nets tonight, so either we'll be in the studio or at least have better lighting, so look forward to that. But anyway, I want to get into some Towns stuff. So I spent a good chunk of time on Thursday's show talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, and really more actually about the organization, the franchise, and how I think they've mishandled the Towns situation, at least in terms of public information. And there's been a lot written about that at various places as well. And we found out a little bit more on Thursday. Towns, it had been reported actually Wednesday, Chris Finch had said on the radio, I believe it was the Paul Allen show on KFAN in the Twin Cities, that Towns was going to return to some sort of live action on the court for the first time since the injury, which of course was in late November. So we're talking now, what is that, three and a half almost months. And Towns still had not participated in live action. So that apparently happened Thursday. Variety quotes came out of media availability on Thursday from Chris Finch, where he did say that Towns did two on zero work with player development staff, and there's no timetable for a return, and he still wasn't playing 5-on-5, of course. Finch also said that Towns would be playing 5-on-0 here sometime soon, I think was kind of how he said it. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, he's not there yet. So he's still not playing against the defense. I'm sure he was just running, you know, two-man concepts, 2-on-0. It's like the old draft workout with the chair, right? So positive. And there were also some comments. I think it was Jade McDaniels was talking to the media after practice and said that it was good to see Towns at practice. Towns was there, et cetera. Cat was not made available to the media. But, you know, positive sign, certainly. The only time, again, that we've seen Cat, or that anybody's seen Cat on the court, even if it wasn't us, since the injury. So that's all positive. I'm going to pull up the Chris Finch quote, if I can find it here. I lost it. But Chris Finch talked a little bit. Chris Finch's quote was regarding Karl-Anthony Towns' potential role, I guess, when he comes back. Like, what could that look like? And he was asked about, you know, I think the scenario posed to him. I actually think it was Jace Frederick at the Pioneer Press who asked him, hey, you know, what does Cat's role look like? And what if he's, you know, for instance, say he's cleared to play with four games left in the regular season, you need to win three of them to make the playoffs. Would you put Karl-Anthony Towns in the starting lineup? Would you play him? Would you risk, re-injury. We've heard more about that lately as a potential concern, and as it should be for Karl-Anthony Towns' camp. Would you allow him to play? And Finch kind of, danced around it a little, but then ultimately said, hey, yes. Like, it could be a minutes limit. He could come off the bench. And that got me thinking a little bit more about mixing and matching and what the Timberwolves lineups could potentially look like with Karl-Anthony Towns back in the fold. And we did this a couple weeks ago, but it's becoming more relevant once again as it looks like we're inching towards Towns being back on the floor. Who loses minutes for the Wolves? What do the rotations look like? Is it Towns? Is it Naz Reid that's like out of the rotation all of a sudden? Remember, he had a couple few DNP CDs early in the season when Towns was healthy. Like, he just straight didn't play in some games. Or is it Kyle Anderson? Is it Rudy Gobert? I think the answer is a combination of all three. I think we see Rudy's minutes trimmed back a little because you can afford to take one All-NBA center off the floor if you have another one. I think we certainly see Naz's minutes trimmed back, and obviously he's played well, but he's still not as good as Karl-Anthony Towns, but we should point that out. And then also Kyle Anderson, kind of the same thing, right? Like, all three of these guys are good players and have played well. But in theory, if you shorten their minutes and you give Towns a chunk of minutes, then everybody's a little bit fresher and plays a little bit better and maybe isn't miscast quite as often as perhaps they are now. And there's always the possibility that Towns ends up with a minutes restriction initially anyway, trying to avoid a compensation injury. Of course, the nightmare scenario is the one I mentioned on Thursday's show, and apparently Towns' camp is worried about, which is the Kevin Durant coming to back too early from the calf strain. I think it was in 2019, and ultimately tearing his Achilles in the finals. That's the nightmare scenario, right? That's what you're trying to avoid. So understandable if the Timberwolves come out of this thing with some sort of minutes restriction on Karl-Anthony Towns. I think that would actually make a lot of sense. Perhaps he does even come off the bench, but I think you're going to see a mix and match. Like, Kyle Anderson has worked really well at that starting lineup. Him and Gobert together, any unit with Gobert and Anderson on the floor has so much length and so much defensive know-how that they're fantastic defensively. But there's also a little bit of a limit offensively and shooting-wise. We've seen that with teams loading up on Anthony Edwards, right? Jaden McDaniels has had a good shooting year from outside the arc, but teams don't really respect him, certainly not the same way they would Karl-Anthony Towns. Same with Kyle Anderson. He's shooting, still a career best, 40%-ish from outside the arc. But teams still know, hey, it's Kyle Anderson. Like, he can make an open three, but we would much rather double ant and give up a semi-open Kyle Anderson three, two, three, four times a game than single cover ant and let him destroy us, right? So McDaniels and Anderson, even though they've had good shooting years, and same with Mike Conley, none of those guys are sharpshooters. None of those guys are to the level of Karl-Anthony Towns. So you add Towns into the mix and you're able to spread the floor a little bit more and defenses have to respect you. At least more even than they do now. I think Anderson probably stays in the starting lineup to start, and I think Towns comes off the bench. But ultimately, you could see that swap, and you'll still see some Anderson. You'll probably see some Anderson at the 3 minutes with Towns at the four and Gobert at the five. But what that will do for you is that starting lineup is still going to be so good defensively with McDaniels and Gobert on the floor, and obviously Conley being and Anthony Edwards being a really good on-ball defender as well. That still should be a good defensive lineup. And this team is now a team with a top 10 defensive identity league-wide. Can you kind of keep that defensive floor about where it's at, even if the ceiling comes down just a little because Towns is playing more often? Well, he's been passable largely defensively the last couple of years. Your defense is going to get worse if Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gobert play less and Karl-Anthony Towns plays more. But your offense should get much, much, much better. And that's another reason, by the way, that Cat eating into Naz's minutes aren't the worst thing, because of those three, Naz is the worst defender: Gobert, Anderson, and Naz Reid. So if we replace more of, say half of Towns' minutes come from Naz and a quarter come from Rudy and a quarter come from Anderson, something like that, roughly, obviously, there's a lot of, it's messy, but something similar to that is probably the best case scenario for the Wolves and allows them to maintain some level of defensive success while becoming that much better offensively. So it'll be interesting to see how Finch tinkers with the lineups. But all that to say, he acknowledged being open to it, and I'm sure the team is talking through different scenarios of what that might look like. And also now, Towns is playing at least 2-on-0 live action on the court, so we're getting a little bit closer to seeing Cat actually on the floor. And that's going to be just such a sight for sore eyes, I think, for all Timberwolves fans. All right, I want to talk about the Western Conference standings and what happened Thursday night around the league, what's next for the Wolves, all that here next segment. And then I want to get into Wolves-Nets Friday night, preview that matchup, because we have not seen Brooklyn yet this season, so we're going to do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at BetterHelp. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Anytime you have a career change, a significant life change, you move, etc., you can learn something new about yourself in life. And you know, I've had a couple of those. We actually moved last year. You know, just any you have a kid, you know, maybe you become an aunt or an uncle for the first time, whatever it is. It can completely change your life, and it helps you get to know yourself. I mean, we're always growing and changing as people, and therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way that we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Therapy can be a huge benefit. I mean, it can help you just, like I said, take a step back. Think about things in a bigger picture. It could be really easy to get bogged down in the here and now, you know, get blinders on, et cetera. But it's really helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, et cetera, to get therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, let's talk Western Conference and games on Thursday. There are actually more games on Thursday than I think we're accustomed to. The schedule's got a little bit more evened out this time of year. I think, I don't know, probably has a little bit to do with no football and now teams are, like, the Wolves had played way more teams than so many other teams had, and so the schedule's evening out a little bit. But anyway, games that affected the Western Conference playoff race on Thursday night. The Utah Jazz beat the Orlando Magic. Not a big surprise there. Golden State lost to Memphis, which helps the Wolves. Brooklyn lost to Milwaukee. That doesn't affect the West, but the Wolves play the Nets on Friday. And then Sacramento did hold on to beat the Knicks in a close game at Sacramento. Now, of course, Sacramento and Memphis are each several games ahead of the Wolves, and it's unlikely Minnesota gets into the top three in the West. But the Warriors' loss means that Golden State, the Timberwolves, and the Dallas Mavericks all have identical records. As it stands right now, the Wolves have the tiebreaker. Well, they will have the tiebreaker, not just right now. They will have the tiebreaker over the Dallas Mavericks. The Timberwolves currently do not have the tiebreaker over the Warriors. I believe they play Golden State one more time. I'm going to make sure that that's true. Yeah, the Wolves play Golden State one more time. They're 1-2 against Golden State. So, best case scenario is a tied tiebreaker for the Wolves and the Warriors. They have the tiebreaker over the Mavericks, and the Wolves are now a half game behind the Clippers for the 5 seed. Remember, though, the Wolves have the tiebreaker over the Clippers, too. So, if the Wolves beat the Nets on Friday night, they will move into a tie with the Clippers for 5th in the Western Conference and have the tiebreaker. So they actually would be in 5th in the West unless Golden State wins their next game. And then, of course, they'd stay ahead of the Wolves, but the Wolves would jump the Clippers. So all that to say, there's still just a half game that separates 5-8 in the Western Conference. The jump up to the Suns at 4, of course, the really unfortunate Kevin Durant injury means the Suns are perhaps a little more vulnerable, but they've still won 4 straight, and they're still, at this moment, 3.5 up on the Wolves in the West for the 4 seed. But it's not out of the question that the Wolves could move up to 4. 5, though, again, a half game plus the tiebreaker that the Wolves own away from 5th place in the Western Conference. Of course, 6th is the most important spot to get to guarantee that you're out of the play-in. It would be something if the Wolves, this is completely on the table, if the Wolves got out of the play-in while winning less games than they did last year. Remember, last season they won 46 games and finished in the 7th seed. At this point, to win 46 games, the Wolves would have to go, 12-3 the rest of the way? Is that right? Am I doing that math right? 12-3? Yeah. No. Yeah, that's crazy. That seems pretty unlikely. Possible, but unlikely. So, I think the most likely scenario is that we do have something close. I don't think it will actually be a four-way tie, but those 4 teams Clippers, Warriors, Timberwolves, Mavs are going to be clustered together somewhere between 5 and 8 in the Western Conference. And again, the Wolves already have earned the tiebreaker over the Mavericks and over the Clippers, and they have a shot to tie it against the Warriors. They haven't lost any crucial tiebreakers in the West as of yet. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on here moving forward. Wolves Nets on Friday, we're going to preview that here in a minute. That's a big game for the Wolves. I mean, going back out on the road, now it's the Hawks, but still, going back out on the road on Monday, they get the weekend off again. And Friday night, I'm just looking at the Friday night schedule here, Golden State does not play. So what I said earlier does hold up, and actually the Clippers don't either. So if the Wolves win, they will be tied with the Clippers, but have the tiebreaker and will be in fifth in the Western Conference. And there's no other, none of those other teams clustered with the Wolves play Friday. The Lakers play, they're a little bit behind the Wolves. Denver plays, they're significantly ahead of the Wolves. And then Portland is also back near where the Lakers are. So, you know, Mavericks, Clippers, I don't know, the other teams that I mentioned that are kind of clustered in that same spot are not playing Warriors are not playing Friday night. So this is a big opportunity for the Wolves to move up a little bit in the West. The Brooklyn Nets matchup, Brooklyn did play on Thursday night. And they lost on the road at Milwaukee. So that's game two of, I believe, a 5-game road trip for Brooklyn. The Nets lost to the Bucks by 5 on the road. We'll be playing in Minnesota the second night of a road back-to-back. And the Nets had a really weird, like, if you look at the box score from this game, they had 3 of 5 starters score 0 points in this game. And Mikal Bridges played only 12 minutes, which was on a minutes restriction of sorts. And it's just a weird box score if you look at it. And I didn't get to watch any of the game, but a lot of starters didn't play a whole lot of minutes. The Nets got down big early. They were down by 17 after the first quarter. So that's likely a big reason as to why. But Bridges squeezed the trigger 13 times in 12 minutes, scored 10 points. 3 starters didn't score. Finney Smith, Joe Harris, Nerlens Noel, all were scoreless. Seth Curry had 5 points in 11 minutes. The Nets were led in scoring off the bench by Patty Mills with 23 points and Cam Thomas with 21. So just a weird game. The Bucks kind of ran away and hit early, and then the Nets chipped away a little in the second half to make things a little more interesting. But, I mean, the Nets continue to be, well, we'll talk more about this here in a minute, continue to be inconsistent as an offensive team, but a good defensive team. So I want to break that down, you know, how the Nets have been since the big trades, the Kyrie Irving trade, the Kevin Durant trade a little over a month ago. So we're going to do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our title sponsors over at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season has come and gone, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Friday night, you know, Wolves Nets, the Wolves should be favored by a couple points. I haven't looked, but I'm willing to bet they're probably 2.5, maybe even 3-point favorites at home against the Nets with a rest advantage for the Wolves. But you can look at the player props. I like, the Nets have some good perimeter defenders. I'm sure we'll see Finney Smith guarding Edwards. But the Wolves' bigs should have a good game. Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, etc. So check out their player props over at FanDuel. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, unofficial sports betting partner of the NBA. Let's talk a little more Wolves-Nets. So this matchup, first time we've seen it this season. Of course, the Nets look completely different than they would have earlier this year anyway. The Kyrie Irving trade happening before the deadline and the Nets reacquiring Spencer Dinwiddie, of course, former member of the Brooklyn squad, Dorian Finney-Smith, both from the Mavs. And then a couple days later, they trade Kevin Durant and TJ Warren. They get back Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and a ton of picks. Cam Johnson and Dinwiddie both sat out on Thursday due to rest. So don't be shocked if they play Friday against the Wolves. But we also saw short minutes for some of these other guys, right? Finney Smith didn't play very much. Some of the other starters for the Nets didn't play a whole lot Thursday. So don't be shocked if we see a mostly full strength Nets team against the Wolves. Brooklyn went 2-8 after the Kyrie trade. So after the first of those big trades, they went 2-8 in their first 10 games. Then they won 3 consecutive games, one at Boston, a very nice win, and then a couple over Charlotte at home and then at Houston. So not exactly world beaters that the Nets were beating, but they're still sixth in the East, and they have a shot to get a, you know, an actual playoff seed and not have to do the play-in thing in the East. It's on the table still. But of course, they lose to the Bucks in Milwaukee on Thursday. They go at Minnesota, at Denver, at Oklahoma City. That is a tough road trip for the Nets. And then they get the Kings and Nuggets and two games against the Cavs at home at Miami. I mean, like, it's a really tough schedule. So I think it's more likely they slide back into the play-in in the East. But they've, you know, at least been competitive. So, like, if you pull everything together, they were 2-8 in their first 10 after the trade. They're now overall, they're 5-9 since the Kyrie trade. And, you know, Jacques Vaughn's gotten his contract extension. They've seen some good minutes from the newcomers, from Bridges, from Cam Johnson. There's still a lot of upside there offensively. But that's been their biggest problem, is consistency on offense since the trades. You look at the games that they played, and the defense has actually been pretty good. It's more been a function of, or the question has been like, hey, can you score consistently? Since the trade, they've held opponents. They lost the game 101-98. They held the 76ers to just 101 points and lost. They held the Heat to 105 points and won. And then more recently, their wins over the Hornets and Rockets, they held the Hornets to 86 points. Now, Charlotte's the worst offensive team in the league, but still, 86 points for an NBA team in the year 2023 is pretty impressive. 96 points for the Rockets the next night. Obviously, they struggle with the Bucks on Thursday, but who doesn't? So defensively, the Nets are still really good. And of course, the year-long numbers are going to be a little wonky because of the trades. But sitting here right now, including the whole season with, yes, Kevin Durant and some of the guys that they ended up trading away, the Nets are 12th in defensive rating. They're 13th in offensive rating. I'd argue that the defensive rating probably is about accurate. I think they're probably a top 12 defensive team league-wide. The offensive rating sinks significantly with no Kevin Durant and no Kyrie Irving, of course. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith is a fantastic perimeter defender. We've seen how bad the Mavs are defensively on the perimeter since trading Finney-Smith. He's a huge add for Brooklyn. You know, across the board, the Nets are still a good defensive team, and that's something to keep an eye out for the Wolves, because the Wolves have the opposite issue, right? They've been more consistent defensively, not entirely consistent, but more consistent on that end of the floor, and offensively has been a struggle. Now, again, for the year, the Nets are a really good three-point shooting team. They're third league-wide. That, of course, changes a little bit when you lose Kevin Durant, but they've got a bunch of other guys that can shoot, too. And in a Nets uniform, Mikal Bridges is shooting 48% from three. Joe Harris is always fantastic from outside the arc. He's 43% for three on the season. And Seth Curry is north of 39%. So is Royce O'Neal, who started for most of the year for them as well, the former Utah Jazz wing. So the Nets still are a really good three-point shooting team. They're also a good free-throw shooting team. They don't get to the line a lot, but they make them when they do. They're one of the few teams that I would say is a worse rebounding team than the Wolves. And that's an area the Wolves actually should have an advantage in this game. So I actually don't hate this matchup for the Timberwolves. I think it's a doable matchup, especially with the way the Nets look now after the changes. I think the Wolves could... I should also say, the Nets foul almost as much as the Wolves do, too. The Nets commit a lot of fouls. They're 20th in free throw rate. Defensively, the Wolves, I think, are 23rd. So the Wolves are a little worse. But personal fouls-wise, the Nets are 28th. They commit a ton of fouls per game. So there's some areas that the Nets and Wolves have similar weaknesses. And ultimately, the Wolves have just more top-line talent, even without Karl Anthony Towns, than the Nets do at this point in time. So a very winnable game. Rest advantage at home. A big game after the loss on Tuesday for the Wolves. Last game of the homestand. Lots of reasons why the Wolves should come out and play well in this game. So looking forward to watching Wolves-Nets Friday night. Of course, I'll go live, as I mentioned earlier, with Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North about 45 minutes or so after the game. So call it like 10:15 or so Central. That'll be on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. So subscribe to the channel to be notified when we go live. And then you can also listen to the audio. If you can't watch it live on a Friday night, you can listen to the audio on this feed. So Lockdown Wolves audio feed, wherever you listen to podcasts. After the fact, you can listen to it here this weekend. The Wolves next play after that on Tuesday. So no other shows this weekend after the postcast, but we will have an episode on Monday leading into the Wolves play next on Monday, not Tuesday. So Monday's show will be a preview of Wolves Hawks on Monday. We haven't seen Atlanta yet this year either. And of course they've got a new coach, some new stuff going on down there. So we'll talk Wolves Hawks Monday and what happened in the weekend in the Western Conference playoff race, but no shows Saturday or Sunday. All right, that's all we have for you here today. A big thank you for those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. It's, of course, greatly appreciated. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch on YouTube for free, of course. And you can watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen the game-to-game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result, Locked On game-to-game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow game-to-game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.